Hey, Esmeralda, do you like comedy?
I love comedy.
Are you a liar?
No.
Are you sure you're not an awful, awful liar?
No.
Well, have you heard of ReComedy? It's a comedy magazine.
Yes, comedy from the trenches.
How do you know their hit logo? Their hit logo, that doesn't make sense. How do you know their... What is that slogan? How do you know their slogan?
Because I love comedy, and I like magazines.
Why are you such a dirty fucking liar?
I'm not.
All right. Comedy magazine.
I like both.
You like both? What is both?
Comedy and magazines, and they put it in one meat package.
It is a meat package. You can pick up that package at Quimby's and other independent retailers, or go to their website, recomedymagazine.com. The second issue is about to come out. It's featuring Mark Maron. Do you know who Mark Maron is, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
What does he do?
He does podcasts.
He does do podcasts. It's a podcast issue, so go pick up ReComedy, recomedymagazine.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brendan Weatherby, and sitting on the other side of the bar from me is... This is where you say your name.
I'm Ben Tanzer with a mouthful of gin and tonic, so thank you, Brandon. It's good to be here.
You're welcome. I saw you for the first time. I'm sure we've seen each other before, but I saw you for the first time.
You're a handsome dude. I'm sure I've seen you.
You're already doing the show. You can stop with the kissing, the butts.
That wasn't even
butt
kissing or butt.
You have a babysitter at home, so be careful.
That's true. That's true.
I saw you because you were part of Nerves of Steel, the first Nerves of Steel we had at the Hungry Brain.
Yes.
You are a writer.
Yes, sir.
You're a podcaster.
Yes, sir.
And a bunch of other.
I have a vast media empire, of which the writing is part of it, yes.
So, we're going to give everyone an overview of what Ben does, hopefully. Well, I bartend, so this is going to be a very choppy podcast. So, I recommend listening to this in a bar, preferably, I don't know, the Hop Leaf? I don't know, I never go there. Why would I even
say
that? Hop Leaf's in Andersonville.
How is it? I think I've had a drink there.
It's good. They have very good fries.
How about Old Town Ale House?
Old Town Ale House is great, but it's very hard to listen to anything.
Very loud there.
It's very loud. See, we already have our first interruption, which is great because that means I'm going to make some money. So, Ben's first question is going to be about this blog will change your life.
Awesome.
He's going to ponder that, and we'll be right back. We're back. Ben, what is this blog will change your life?
Well, you know, Brandon, this blog will change your life is the centerpiece of my fake media empire.
Your fake media empire?
Yes.
Didn't it start as a promotional tool to sell your first book?
Yes. So when I was working on the first book, I mean, writers weren't totally blogging yet, and I would never have blogged.
What year is this?
2006. It's actually about 4 years this month.
Wow.
In fact, it was born in December 2006. And so the publisher of that first novel, Lucky Man, was like, dude, we're going to really need some marketing help. And I thought, what are you thinking? And I had been really fascinated with bloggers, but was not intending to do that. And I said, what are you thinking? He goes, I think a blog would be really cool. So after I thought, how do you get past what seemed like a lot of grandiosity, which I'm totally into, but I had this idea that I would treat everything I did going forward sort of like the monorail episode of The Simpsons.
Did you
see that one?
And scam a small town and find something?
In essence, convince people they need something they don't need that would make their life better.
Hence the title.
Hence the title of the blog. So from the start, the idea was I would tell you that what I do will change your life.
Okay.
Not just change it, but maybe make it better. That was always the goal.
Has it made your life better?
Yes.
How so?
Well, I have to admit, as I started thinking through the blog, I thought I need to hype things. But I also really want to be entertained. I mean, I want to entertain myself and have fun. And so I've been able to use it for a couple of things. I hype myself, which I do find entertaining. But I also hype other people what they're up to, which I really quite enjoy.
Okay.
And then I also had wanted to start a zine of my own, and which I can talk about if you're interested.
When that has become this zine will change your life.
Yes.
Okay.
So then I started thinking, there's things I want to do, the zine, my own podcast series, which is always focused on a single writer, or sometimes a couple of writers, usually very drunken, though not the one I did today. And I started thinking, what would an empire look like? And why settle for a media empire? Why not a brand, a lifestyle empire?
Okay.
And so I started thinking, what would that look like? So everything should change
your life.
It would
look like the O Network.
Yes, but more literary.
Okay.
And more.
She's got books.
Oh, I love her. I mean, more drunken. So then I started thinking, we need a perfume line and we need a denim line, but let's start with books and podcasts and celebrating writers maybe you've never heard of. And so it really has changed. life, actually, significantly.
You're a married man.
Yes.
You have children.
Yes.
It seems like this is a great way to not develop, just fall into a married man with children state of mind permanently. It seems that it kind of forces you to stay afloat of things culturally. Am I wrong in that?
No, that's totally right. And in fact, though I don't usually talk like this, so then you can slap me down, I really was interested with all the other stuff I'm talking about and just sort of a certain level of balance. I mean,
yeah.
I'm really into my kids, and my wife is rock star awesome,
nice.
But I don't know that I would have been sort of happy enough or entertained enough. I have a day job, which I really like too. I mean, everything's pretty good, but there was this whole underdeveloped part of my life, which this gave me an opportunity to jump in.
And your day job knows about this?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They don't really acknowledge it, so it's not clear to me. I don't think I'd do anything they would care about.
No, you're very legit.
Yes.
The NPR crowd could follow you without being offended.
Oh, I think so.
That's nice.
I hope so, especially if they're buying books.
Speaking of books, you have two.
Yes.
No, three.
I have two.
You have two novels.
Two novels and two collections.
And then you have four, and then you have a fifth one coming out in 2011.
Since I saw you last, can I say this and not sound embarrassed?
No, no.
This is my chance. I actually now have two books coming out in 2011.
That is amazing. Okay, how does one? When did you? That's not a joke to me. This is amazing.
It is funny though.
Fuck you.
Okay.
I've done 20 something zines. That was a waste of time. I mean, look, good friends. Fuck friends. I want to be rich.
Yes.
Are you
cool.
Rich?
No.
How can I not make your mistake so I can be rich?
I think probably hooking up with bigger publishers and bigger agents and optioning your books is a good place to start.
Do you ever want to do that?
Make money?
No, option your stuff.
Oh, I would be open to that. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. But I want to be honest. And my wife, if she's listening, wherever she is now drinking herself, she's cringing. I have not used money to make almost any decision about work or writing for most of my life.
That sounds very noble.
I thought I even intended to be noble.
But you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yes, but that's really not it.
You don't smell bad.
No.
That makes you different than a lot of Chicago writers.
Maybe, but I'm older than a lot of Chicago
that's
writers.
That doesn't really matter.
No? Okay.
No. That bothers me a lot. You're involved in the scene here, and that's weird to say because there actually is a scene here when it comes to literature.
Apparently there is, yeah.
What would you be doing 20 years ago? Let's say you were still in the town you grew up in. Could you be doing anything you're doing now?
You know, that's a great question because basically I'm a version, I hope a good one, of what my dad was 20 years ago.
What was your dad?
A pretty prolific painter.
Really?
Who sold a lot of work and was very fairly esteemed.
So you come from a family that made art and made money on it?
No, but he never made money.
He sold paintings?
He did, a lot. But, you know, what's a lot of paintings over a 30-year career?
Was that his day job?
Pretty much, and he taught. My mom was the money maker.
What did your mom do?
I am the rare product of artist and therapist.
That's awesome!
It is awesome.
Did your mom make you go to therapy? Did you go to therapy?
She didn't make me, but I have gone for years.
When did you start going to therapy?
I started going in my early 20s.
Did that demystify the whole writer myth that you have to be a troubled, struggling, alcoholic male?
Dude, Brandon, that's a great question.
I'm very good at
that. Can I give two answers to that?
You are.
One is, it didn't demystify anything. What one thing it showed me was I was actually more fucked up than I thought at the time.
Okay, that's good.
I didn't realize how messed up things were, so that helped a lot.
Okay.
But I wasn't writing yet. But the second thing...
Wait, when did you start writing?
I didn't start writing until I was 30.
We'll talk about that soon. Okay.
Good. But
that's good, because now I don't feel like a big failure yet.
No. You shouldn't.
Yes.
You shouldn't. I hope. But yeah, no. I realized that I was more fucked up than I thought on the one hand, which kind of threw me for a while. On the other hand, it showed me you don't have to be romantically drunk and idiot to be creative. You can just have ideas and run with them. And that was actually very helpful, because I had not started, and I didn't actually start for another 4 or 5 years after that.
What made you start?
Therapy?
No, not therapy, writing. Therapy makes sense. I think everybody should be in therapy. I need to be in therapy. That's
I had
not a joke.
Spent... No, go ahead. Do you want to talk about
that? Yeah. If you're a therapist and want to plug your show, I will sell out to you. Give me free sessions. And while I learn to speak, we'll be right back of why Ben started writing.
I love that.
I wince and I wonder, I cringe and I pout. I'm heart sick, but the doctor is out. I told you your eyes look like the stars, but people say stupid things in bars.
All right, we're back with the listener at home. We never went anywhere. Ben, why did you start writing? At 30, you said?
At 30.
At 30. Why? Usually people give up at 30.
I know.
You started. What
Which
made
is helpful
you?
For a guy like me. senior in high school. Never 1 second before that. I was sort of forced to take a creative writing class.
In high school. Okay.
And it was required. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. And I started thinking, maybe I could do this. But it really took me about 12 years to get started.
Was it fear?
I think fear, yeah, for sure. This is so inarticulate. I hope it'd be more articulate. I think it was actually impossible to imagine myself as a writer. And I don't know what my idea of a writer was, but I just didn't think I fit that bill. So, I mean...
You had to have an idea if you knew it wasn't you.
I think I had an idea that that's what I was supposed to be doing at some point.
Being a writer.
Yeah, but it seemed impossible that I could actually be one. I just didn't start.
Would you call yourself a writer now?
I would, but I'm always feel a little weird about that.
How many things have you published?
Two books, two collections.
Yeah. What makes you a writer? Besides, is it an intangible thing? It's not like being a redhead. You have red hair. Everyone writes. Well, not everyone. A lot of people write. What makes you a writer? Do you have to be published to be a writer?
I personally, I don't think so. I think it's the desire to put pen or pencil to paper, or even hand to iPad or fingers to... Yeah. I think a lot of people are, and I'm totally cool with that. My dad was more hard-ass about that kind of thing. It was kind of like, you have a gift and you craft it. I don't feel that strongly.
Would he call himself an artist?
Yes.
Do you still talk to your dad?
He's dead.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That he's dead?
Yeah.
Bad for him, not too cool for me, for sure.
We'll come back to your dead dad in a second.
I hope so.
The last segment reminded me that I should stop asking anyone over the age of, I don't know, 10, actually ever, about their parents.
I don't mind talking about my parents.
I only like to talk about dead parents on this show. It's a blast.
I have one.
Oh, I might. I don't know. It's a possibility. Okay, so you started writing at 30.
Yes, sir.
Just because you wanted to, and you wanted to for the past 12 years, but was there one specific moment?
I will tell you that. So I had been thinking about it a lot, and I had actually been sort of piling up stories in my head. I mean, sometimes I think about it almost like when planes are stacked, they can't land. Mm-hmm. So I probably had a dozen stories.
That's a good analogy.
Thank you. So I had a bunch of stories, but the story I really wanted to write was about a guy leaving his wife.
Okay.
I had this whole story plotted out, literally, almost, but I never got started. And one night, my wife and I got a call from someone who was telling us she was going to leave her husband. It was like literally sitting in a car thinking about it.
Yeah.
And my wife was able to go to sleep, but I found it very upsetting. And I wanted to do something.
Do you know why she was leaving him?
It wasn't entirely clear. She was just like, it's either now or never. And it became never, which is good. They're happily married.
They're still together?
Yes.
Oh, do they know that you wrote a story about them?
No. And in fact, I'll tell you
a funny story.
What
are their names? Where do they live?
I shouldn't say.
Okay.
But I will tell you a funny story. Another friend of mine, he and his wife, who are not split up but have talked about it, one day his wife...
They're currently talking about it?
Oh, they've been talking about it for years.
What are their names?
Should I say?
No, of course you shouldn't say.
Okay, good.
No, it's
insane. I'll tell you a funny story. When that story got published, which then started the whole thing, his wife emailed me and said, is that about us?
And the answer is?
No.
It's not about them.
It's not about the couple that thinks it's about them, no.
Could it be about them, though?
It could be. Do you know why? Can I say something cheesy? Leaving people is fairly universal. The reasons are not so vast.
Yeah,
of course. You hate them, or they cheated on you, or you made a mistake,
yeah,
or who knows what. So yeah, the story could be about almost any couple. But what happened was, I was really distraught about this call. And I thought, I got to write this down. It was the first time I ever had that experience. And I started writing, and the story that had been sitting in my head, leaving home, bam, 30 minutes, knocked it out.
Okay.
And then I have not stopped since.
And that was, what, 12 years ago?
That was 12, literally almost 12 years ago.
So you've been wanting to write for 12, you've been writing for 12. Which chunk was better?
The not 12 was probably seemed good at the time, but now that I look back on it, not so good.
You met your wife when you weren't a writer.
Yes.
What does she think of this?
I think she finds it, I think it's a mix of, wow, that's really cool, and wow, I can't totally relate. When I met you, you were a drunken 18-year-old trying to get in my pants, and now you're a drunken 42-year-old trying to get in my pants, but now you write a lot.
That's nice. So you didn't stop drinking. That's the point.
No, I slowed down considerably, which I think also, on a side note, probably helped the writing a lot.
How about having a kid?
That that has made me really appreciate the time when I can get it. Time has become my mistress. I would not cheat on my wife alone just because I would not want to waste my writing time having sex with someone else.
She's got to be thrilled to hear that.
I hope so.
That's kind of a compliment.
It's intended as a compliment.
One of your hobbies, I don't know if it's a hobby, but one of your passions, I don't know if it's a passion. One of the things you do, you wrote about that, and that became an essay, a collection of essays, and that's running.
Yes, 99 Problems is that collection.
When did you start running?
I was about 13.
You've been running consistently since you were 13.
I've been running almost every day, or at least 4 or 5 times a week for 30 years, yeah.
Why? Were you like a fat 12-year-old?
No.
Did you play baseball or basketball?
I hated baseball. Basketball was very confusing. I played everything.
Soccer?
Yes.
Did you like
hardcore?
Soccer?
Yes, hardcore. Would soccer is one of the first things that I ever tried that I thought, wow, there's like other stuff to do that I like. Yeah, soccer was a big deal.
But what made you start running at 13?
Well, I joined the track team.
In your junior high?
Yes, seventh
grade. Junior high, the track team.
We had a middle school team. And I have to admit, cheesy, like that first story I wrote, the first practice I ever went to, I was like, holy shit, I have not been doing this my entire life. And that was it. I mean, I was locked in that day.
How does that affect the drinking? They seem polar opposite.
Between 7th grade and 12th grade, when it was in season, I never drank or did drugs.
Well, yeah.
And then senior year, I did both.
Yeah.
And then I became an ultimate frisbee player, so it was encouraged.
So you were a hippie.
I was a stoner, drunken athlete.
Maybe.
I was probably post-hippie, because I actually didn't care about peace and love.
When did you meet your wife?
I met her spring of 1987. I was 18.
So she saw you through the, I call them, dark days of you.
Yes. But most people
was
probably
she a hippie?
Said, she drank with me.
And she still drinks?
No. She's been retired for a long time. Drinking right now.
What do you think about, so she's not like a staunch, not
drinker. Oh, no. She's not a teetotaler. She just stopped.
That's good. Would she stop?
No.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
Never.
Have you ever?
No.
Is that because you run?
It just seemed appalling to me, even as a little kid.
I'm liking you less and less.
I'm sorry. I never understood it.
You never understood?
No.
To me, how could you? Why would you run? See, smoking to me makes sense. It slows it down. You realize you're going to die. I might as well feel like it in my inside.
I'm definitely not into dying. I got a lot of plans.
What's with the positivity?
I've always been like this, dude.
It's good.
And this is funny, by the way. Even when I talk to some of my friends now, they would probably, friends I've had for 15, 20 years, they'd say, dude, there were no dark days, which is your phrase, not mine, but I agree. Because for a long time, I really did drink a lot and, you know, other things. But they would always say, you don't seem a lot different, maybe more sober. I was never that dark.
What could be the worst thing for you? Like to lose one of your feet? Or
no.
The ability to run?
That would suck, but I'm sure there's no way to actually lose your ability to run.
Or to get shot. I'm not saying...
Would I be dead? Would I be dead, though?
No.
Then I would still be running in some form.
Okay.
I'd be in a wheelchair.
And okay.
I'd be wheelchairing, and that would be fine.
They've got to be so happy with you and your positive lifestyle.
Who?
Like your family, your friends.
I don't know.
That's amazing. In addition to the 99 Problems, you write novels.
Yes.
What's easier? What do you find more enjoyable? Do you ever separate the time? Like, this is my time to write a novel.
No.
A novel. This is my time to write a novel. What a fucking idiot.
How grandiose is that? No, it's a good question, but it makes me sound
like I'm a Polish immigrant. That's my interview style.
Wow. I have Polish immigrants as grandparents.
As do I.
And Russian. And Russian.
I don't know my dad.
Galicia. You don't know your dad at all?
Nope. He might be dead. I hope he is.
Wow.
No, I hope he died. With AIDS in his face. I hope he got AIDS face and died.
That's terrible.
And on that note, we're going to talk about AIDS face off mic.
Okay.
I'm dragging my knuckles, my knees till they hurt. I'm wiping the blood on my shirt. I sing to the mirror alone. Pants at my ankles and ass in my throne.
Short stories.
Back from AIDS face.
Wow.
Do you separate the time? Do you just write whatever comes out, or do you have a lot of time to do each thing?
No, whatever's coming out. I mean, whatever, I'm sort of in the zone. Like, right now, I've been editing a bunch of short stories, but I've also been working on the next book, so I'm just sort of bouncing back and forth depending on my mood.
Okay.
But the one thing I'll say is, I probably never do both in the same day.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I rarely write more than 30 minutes in any given time, so I just focus on whatever I'm excited about that day.
How often do you write?
6 days a week.
How long are the shifts?
30 minutes.
It's
usually the max. I mean, 30 minutes is, I'll never write the athlete in me, which is like, don't settle for less than 30. But I rarely get to go over.
Do you have a word limit?
No, whatever happens that day happens.
Do you consider yourself disciplined?
I never did, but people use that word all the time, so I'll say yes.
Yeah, it sounds very structured.
Yeah, I'm structured.
Is there a certain time of day, like 9 a.m.? Okay.
Let me say, right from the start, I knew we'd be having kids eventually. I already was working. I decided right from the start to never be sort of precious about it. I just wanted
like
to
the
find...
novel Precious, or the novel Push that became the movie.
Get the whole
Precious.
Thing by Sapphire. I have not read the book. I have some questions about the movie.
You've seen the movie.
I've seen the movie.
Does Precious get AIDS face? I think she gets AIDS
does
face.
Get. Well, I don't know if it's AIDS face, but she does.
That
get
face
AIDS.
Had a lot of AIDS on it.
That was painful. Yeah.
Well, Precious is okay. Gabby's very happy. She hosted SNL. Everybody, SNL.
Man.
You grew up in a small town.
I did.
Do you miss it? Would you ever want to go back to a small town?
If my friends are listening, do I miss it? Sort of. I want to go back. No. I actually quite like the big city thing.
Is this a big city, though? Because you're from New York. You're from upstate New York. Is that right?
My understanding is if you don't say Chicago's a big city and you didn't grow up here, then you're an asshole.
I think
so, yes, this
city.
Is a huge city.
I think it's a big city, but...
It doesn't feel a big city to me, but it's a cool city. I like it a lot.
You live in a very weird area. You don't have to give, like, the streets, but give the neighborhood.
It's Gold Coast, I guess.
You live in Gold Coast.
Yeah.
That's, like, not the most artistic community.
It is, well, except that we're around the corner from the Three Arts Club.
Yeah. Once
we're
again.
Cheating. And we live on Goethe.
Yeah.
German writer.
But
it's not artistic.
What?
No.
It's kind of... Is
it's
that
a family
fun?
Neighborhood.
Is that good?
It's
you
great.
Seem to be disconnected but know everyone.
That's accurate. Yes. It's a great neighborhood because I'm raising kids and because we don't own a car. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Are you jaded in any way?
Jaded?
Yeah, I don't think of you as jaded in any way.
No,
that's probably,
probably not.
Why you get shit done.
Maybe.
Wow.
No fat, Brandon. No fat is my rule.
Because you run.
Yes. No, I don't mean physical fat, though. I don't like that either. I mean, no fat on my schedule.
I'm sick of being fat. I got
no soap marin.
I gotta get lean.
Fit, dude.
That's because I'm wearing sweaters.
Oh, that's what it is.
Is it important to be in a community as a writer?
I assume it's better.
Because you're writing every day.
Yes.
It doesn't, like, when I would have a reading, like, I would write more and more. So when that reading was going to be there, I would have, like, a bunch of things to pick from. But it seems like for you...
I don't operate like that.
Yeah,
I just write regardless. And then if someone asks me to do something, and I don't think I have something good for them, then I'll try to start
something
new.
Have you ever been pressed on a deadline?
Very rarely, which helps a lot. Almost never.
The deadline helps or not having a deadline?
I think not having one helps. So I can do whatever I want.
So different.
Yes.
So do you understand why this is weird, correct?
Yes.
Who are some of your favorite Chicago writers?
Oh, God. That's a long list. Can we spew? Can we spew a little bit? Yeah. You know, love the Quickies chicks.
Okay.
Mary Hamilton, Lindsay Hunter. Big fans of theirs. I hung out this afternoon with Kathleen Rooney.
Okay.
So she's now my new favorite Chicago writer. Love the Kyle Beachy.
How do you find out about these writers? What's your source?
I just read a lot.
Well, where do you find, like, I know, but, like, how do you know who they are?
Well, people invite me to readings, so I meet writers. I must admit.
So if you're a new writer, a struggling writer, just a writer in Chicago, people should do what to be involved in this?
They should hit readings.
Okay.
And introduce themselves.
And the Quickie series is good to go to?
I'd have 4 or 5 I would hit. You gotta hit Quickies.
Okay.
I would hit Mirrors of Steel, which is suddenly freakishly popular.
Yeah, it's weird.
You would hit Orange Alert, for sure. Those are 3 that are very probably important because, not important, but people are there and they're reading and writing, so yeah.
More tips for authors very soon.
Some idea will hit me, and I'll sort of sketch it out on a piece of paper, and then I'll carry that piece of paper around until I'm ready to start, and then I'll never look at it again.
Really?
I've got one of those. this with me.
Do you write on in a notepad or do you write on the computer?
Short stories are always freehand, and then the novels are always just on the computer.
What about an essay?
Always freehand. Anything shorter than a novel always starts freehand on a legal pad.
Why?
It just seems like the right way to do it. I feel a little old school in that way.
Who taught you to do this? No one.
I made the whole thing up.
Okay. So
which
make
not
shit
impressive.
Up.
Yes, you gotta make.
Yeah,
shit
that's
up.
Not impressive. Next.
Call me a fool. Egg on my face. Blood in my stool. There's nothing worse than waking up without. And how you got there or how you're working out.
It's going to be genius for our level. All right, so we're ending the interview now because my mother is here.
Hey there.
So this can't...
She's quite lovely, by the way.
She's a lady. This can't progress much further than it already has. So Ben has agreed to do this show with me in February when he visits D.C.
Yes.
So you will hear Ben again. So we're going to close this interview like I close every interview when I remember the book with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. So, Ben.
Yes, sir.
I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
I think 197 is the right number.
197. Any reason why?
Ah, it just rolled in.
Isn't 197 the murder number? No, that's 187. Okay.
I do like murder.
No, 197. If you had to pick a new first name for yourself.
Sweet.
What would you choose?
Wow. Well, if my mom's listening, and this is a tribute to moms everywhere, because your mom's right here. My mom wants to name me Raphael, and my dad said no, because I'd get my ass kicked.
Are you Italian?
No, Jewish, but it's sort of like being Italian.
No, nope, it's not.
Yes,
nope.
It is.
I'm not cheap. You're cheap. That's why
yeah.
You have money and success, and I have alcoholism and wine.
That's because our people run the world.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, banker. So I want to thank Banker Ben Tanzer. Tanzer or Tanzer?
Tanzer.
Tanzer sounds
for
so
dancer.
Cool.
People love Tanzer.
Tanzer the country, not so much. Tanzer the writer. Tanzer the banker. He's rich.
Very rich. I am the Jamie Dimon.
Go to this blog. Could be your life. Or this blog.
Will change your
this
life.
This blog will change your life. This podcast will change your life. Let's plug all the books. Lucky Man.
Lucky Man 2007 from Max Media. Most likely you go your way, I'll go mine. 2008 from Orange Alert Press.
99 Problems.
99 Problems.
And?
2010 from Clap, as well as Repetition Patterns. And coming in 2011, You Can Make Him Like You from Artistically Declined. And the recent new pickup, which I'm very excited about, My Father's House from Mean Street Rags.
So many goddamn books.
It's sick. It's
where can
long.
People find you online, real quick?
This blog will change your life is the best place to go.
This blog will change your life. Thank you so much.
Feel
for
free
doing
to
that.
Facebook me, Goodreads me, and, you know, through Brandon, call me. Let's
man
buy
is
drinks.
Connected. And thanks for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful evening.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.